On today's episode of the Karibo Shoe Podcast, Two Truths and a Lie. Welcome back to another episode of the Karibo Shoe Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon, and I'm joined by my co-host, Chad. How's it going, man?
It's going good. Hello, everybody.
So we're back for our second episode of season two. This is episode 54. We're going to be talking about two truths and a lie. But before we get into that, let's talk about what we've been playing.
So, Cadence of Hyrule has been out for a little while.
That's right. I'd say that's the big release in the last couple of weeks.
I think so, yeah. So I've played it a little bit. I'm not in love with it, if I have to be honest. I just think I'm not very good at it is why I don't like it, though.
Boy, I'm right there with you. I downloaded this as well. It's a little pricey. I want to say it's $25. It's one of the pricier eShop games.
Yeah, it is. I bought it day one, had it ready. So it took me a couple days to get to it, but started it up. And yeah, you just fight to the beat of the music. The enemies move to the beat of the music and attack you.
That's right.
And you can kind of move whenever you want to, as long as it's in the beat in any order. But it's a little difficult. I was able to play as Link a little bit, but
I was going to ask you who you start at. You go through kind of a little tutorial or a cutscene, and then you get to choose Link or Zelda. I was curious what you chose. I chose Link as well.
Yeah, I had to go Link. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, no, I'm really struggling with this game. I'm not very good at it, but I think I just got to spend some more time with it. It is a really neat thing. I love rhythm games. I always have, but I never played the original Necrodancer or anything. I don't think you did either. So we were kind of coming into this as rookies. I've heard once you kind of, this is one of those games where when you die, you kind of go back to square one, you know, and start all over. But as you clear, it seems like as you clear individual screens, you will get like diamonds, which you can use to buy stuff that you will carry with you even after you die. And I've heard as you kind of build up your health and get a few good weapons that the game becomes a lot easier. And so I'm planning on trying to stick with it. But right now I'm not having a whole lot of fun because I'm just dying a lot.
Yeah, same here. Well, that's good information to know. And I really do like the music in the game, though. The beat's really catchy.
Yes, the music is fantastic. I really do. Everything I've heard so far has been really good.
Still sticking with Yoshi's Crafted World a little bit. I'm very close to finishing it off. I need the last gem, so I'm just ready to finish that game.
You're right there. Wow. Yeah, I'm still quite a ways behind. I have actually been playing it, though, in the last couple of weeks. I played it for a couple of hours, getting a little bit further. But I think I'm still a long ways away, so I got to keep plugging away at it.
Oh, yes.
So I've also been playing some Splatoon 2 and Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, but we've talked about those to death, so I'm just going to talk about some of the newer things I've played. So I downloaded and I've beat Gato Roboto, which is on the eShop, and this is a game I just absolutely loved. I mean, it is up there as far as eShop games I've ever downloaded.
Really? Wow.
Yes. It's a black and white kind of Metroid-style game. It stars a little cat in a mech suit, and it's just a lot of fun. It reminds me of just a modern day Game Boy game, and I absolutely loved it. It's a pretty short game. I beat it. Well, my playtime says 5 hours or more on the Switch, and I 100%ed it. So this is a great game if you're a dad like me or just don't have a whole lot of gaming time. It's something that I played it, I think, for 3 nights and beat it. So I really, really like this. I would recommend it to anyone that likes that style of game.
Well, I'm not a dad yet, but I may have to try this game out anyway.
Of course, we already talked about Cadence of Hyrule. I also downloaded Hollow Knight on the eShop. This is another game that I've heard quite a bit of good things about. It was on sale on the eShop for $4.99. I think it's regular $16. And I'm not very far at all into this one. It's kind of got a darker, moodier setting than I really like in games. But I'm going to try to stick with it at least a little bit. It starts out pretty slow. I'm not super impressed with it so far, but I'm gonna keep trying. I'm going to give it a fair shake before I decide.
Very cool. I've never played it before, but I have heard good things as well.
And then the last thing I've been playing, it's actually a physical release. I bought Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled for the Nintendo Switch. I bought it physical. I got this at Walmart. You know, if you're looking for a deal on new releases and you don't have Gamers Club unlocked anymore like myself, Walmart should be your go-to destination for games. They're always $10 or less off on day one. So this is a $40 game. I got it for $33 at Walmart. Most of of their games that are $60 are $50 on day one. So it's the place to go for physical releases, in my opinion.
Yeah, once my Gamers Club Unlocked runs out, that's definitely where I'll be purchasing my games. And I really want to pick up Crash Team Racing. I just haven't been by a store in time to pick it. Been very busy.
Yeah, so this, is a remake of the PlayStation 1 classic. I had this game as a kid. I loved it. I thought it was – I had a lot of fun with it. And they completely redone it. It's not just like a – they didn't just make it in HD. They completely redid all the graphics and everything, kind of like they did with the Crash Trilogy on the Switch.
Right.
And I'll tell you, I think the best way to kind of talk about this game is kind of how it differs from Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, because I figured that's what pretty much everyone has played on the Switch if they've played a kart racer. So to me, there's about three main differences. Number one, the speed of this game is way faster than Mario Kart. Just the standard speed on normal difficulty, it feels somewhere between 150cc and 200cc for Mario Kart. It's incredibly fast. So definitely has a learning curve trying when you're moving that fast. I didn't remember that from the original.
Well, yeah, 150, 200, that is booking it there.
Yes. Number two, it is very, very hard, especially compared to Mario Kart. The power sliding is very different. So in this game, you hop when you hit a shoulder button and you go into a power slide, and it has a little meter that goes back and forth. And you've got to, when the meter gets to a certain point, you've got to hit the other bumper to get the turbo boost. And you can do this three times, but if you miss it, you'll slow down a little bit. So it's very timing based, and it's kind of hard to do when you're unfamiliar with the tracks and the speed of the game. So I've been having a hard time power sliding and turbo boosting, but you've got to do that to win, because this game, the computer AI is extremely tough. It is very hard to get first place on these races.
Oh boy.
So I don't know. I may have to drop it down to easy just to get through it. Number three, to me, the main difference is you're going to be waiting a lot playing this game. The loading times are some of the worst I've seen on the Switch. You're talking about almost a minute to load a track every time. And it may not seem like a lot, but it really is, especially compared to Nintendo's first-party games, where the loading times are, 5-10 seconds at most.
Right.
I'm hoping they can patch this and make it better, but I've even heard it's bad even on PlayStation 4 and Xbox, so I don't know how much they can do.
Oh, yeah, that's very disappointing.
That's one negative. But overall, I really do like it. It seems like there's a lot of tracks and characters to unblock. They sell a $60 deluxe edition, but from what I can understand, you can actually earn coins when playing this and basically unlock all this stuff for free if you put enough time into it. So I thought that was cool.
Okay, yeah, that's awesome.
So yeah, that's my time with Crash Team Racing. It's a lot of fun, but it's very difficult.
Yeah, sounds like it. Well, I hope to go and pick it up pretty soon here.
So really, that's all I've been playing. It's been great to get back and play some of these games on the Switch. I'm glad to kind of get back in the groove of things, and I've played some good games the last 2 weeks. Let's go ahead and move on over to pickups. Have you picked up anything in the last couple of weeks worth talking about?
So I have picked up a few things. I've had a loose cartridge of Diddy Kong Racing forever, and I finally located a box and a manual for it. I got it for a decent price, so I was able to complete that in my collection, so it's up on the shelf now. It looks awesome. And I also picked up a box and manual for Hey You Pikachu, which came in a bigger box, and it also had the microphone and everything inside it.
That's incredible. Yeah, it comes in a very fat box,
yes,
if I remember.
It yes, it does. So I was able to get a box for that, and I thought I had this game, but I do not. So
I don't either.
I have to pick up.
I think it's fairly cheap,
though. I think it is a very cheap game, so I have to pick up a game to complete that.
Very
nice. And something that I picked up for the Switch is Tiny Troopers Joint Ops XL. Now, this is a Walmart-exclusive game. From what I can gather, only about 5,000 copies were made, so not every Walmart got any. But I was able to locate one at our local Walmart. I had to go to quite a few Walmarts in town to find one, but finally got my copy of it. And I heard about this game a few days late. And I've looked on BrickSeek, and I can't find any others in the area.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, I've never even heard of this. That's really cool.
Yeah, it was on sale for $20, a Walmart exclusive. So it's about double that on eBay now, which isn't a huge upsell, but something worth having.
Do you know anything about what the game is about or anything?
So it looks like a strategy strategy game. It has some soldiers on the front of it. It's got two games in one, from what I understand. But I haven't opened it, actually. I'm just seeing if it's going to be a collector's item.
Definitely. Don't blame you at all there.
But, yeah, it looks to be like a strategy game. I can't think of any games come to mind that it might be like, but just a kind of a seek and conquer game, it looked like, yeah.
Very cool. Man, those are some good pickups. You know, it's cool you mentioning Diddy Kong Racing to me. Talking about Crash Team Racing, to me, when I was a kid, it was Mario Kart 64, Diddy Kong Racing, and Crash Team Racing. Those were the big three of all the kart racers. So it's cool that you picked up a box for that.
Yeah, I really hope they'll make a new Diddy Kong Racing for the Switch. That'd be incredible.
Oh, me too. So I have just one pickup of note. It's actually a Father's Day gift. My two boys got me one of the wireless GameCube Switch controllers. So I was happy to get this. They got me the black one, which is the color I would have wanted.
Yes.
And that's one of the reasons why I mentioned I did play some Super Smash Brothers over since the last episode, is trying out this controller. And it is really nice to have a wireless GameCube controller, especially for Smash Brothers.
Yeah, and it actually does work halfway decently. Yeah, that's awesome.
It does. The one complaint I would have is the C-Stick feels a little different from the original.
Feels
but
cheap.
Other than that, I really, really like it. One thing I really like about this, even over the original GameCube, is it seems like the D-pad is quite a bit bigger
on
this controller. So that's a big plus. Because if there's one knock against the original GameCube controller, it's that D-pad is tiny.
Very small. So, you're right.
So, yeah, I was happy to get that as a gift for my boys.
Well, that's awesome.
All right, let's go on over to the news. And, man, I don't have much of note here. You know, it seems like with E3 and all the directs Nintendo put out, there's just not a whole lot of news coming out. But we did get word about when Nintendo's next mobile game comes out, and that's Dr. Mario World. It's coming out on July 10th on iOS and on Android. So it's coming out very soon. I'm excited about this.
Same here. I'm ready to give this a try. And we don't have long to wait, so that's great.
That's right. So if you... I know at least on iOS, if you search for this in the App Store, you can already find it, and you can go ahead and hit a thing to pre-download, and it should download right when it's available.
Awesome.
And looks like it's not only Dr. Mario. It looks like there's Dr. Luigi and Dr. Peach and all kinds of
Dr.
characters.
Dr. Bowser.
Yeah, Dr. Bowser. So
very neat.
I'm very excited. Hopefully both Fever and Chill music tracks are included in this. That's really the only news that I was excited about over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, there hasn't been a whole lot.
Thought we'd also go over some of the recent releases. Most of these will be out by the time this releases, but these are all kind of notable games that have come out lately. So first of all, we had My Friend Pedro, which came out on June the 20th. And that looks kind of like a pretty stylized action game, but it also looks pretty violent. So I'm skipping it myself. But
same.
And then, of course, we had Crash Team Racing Nitro Fuel came out on the same day. On June 25th, we got Bloodstained Ritual of the Night. And to me, this one is notable because it's from the developer that made Castlevania Symphony of the Night on the PlayStation 1, which is regarded as the best Castlevania. And this is, he's left Konami, but this is basically the sequel to that game in everything but name. So I think it's getting quite a bit of buzz.
Oh, okay.
Next up, we've got Sega Ages Virtual Racing, which is coming out on June 27th, and I'm very excited about this. This is another Sega arcade racer that is coming out on the Switch, and I will definitely be picking this one up. And then, of course, lastly, we've got the big release for June, and that's Super Mario Maker 2 on Friday, June the 28th, which should be the day that this is released. It's not the day we're recording, though, so we're very excited, and we'll be getting that on Friday.
Oh, you know it. I have plans to play it all weekend long.
And I'm sure that'll probably be the subject of next episode, of the next episode of the show. We're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to debut a new segment to the show. Okay, we are back, and we're going to be debuting a brand new segment that we hope to have repeated on several episodes in the future. We're going to call this segment Look Back. That's the name we decided on, and basically what this segment's going to be is maybe this week it's going to be me, another week it could be Chad. We're going to look back on a game that we enjoyed from the past, a Nintendo game, a game that we think we'd like to throw a little bit of spotlight on. So this week I thought I'd start us off, and we're going to be talking about Super Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins for the Nintendo Game Boy. And this is a game I grew up with as a kid, and I just thought it'd be a lot of fun to kind of go over this game and see, maybe let some people play it for the first time.
Yes, including myself.
Including you.
I'm actually currently playing this right now. I downloaded it and trying it out.
Okay, perfect. So most of this info we'll be going over is from Wikipedia and the Super Mario Wiki. This game was released on November 2nd, 1992. So I was 6 years old.
I was zero.
You were not yet born. So to me, this game is notable for it was the last side-scrolling Mario game released until 2006, New Super Mario Brothers on the Nintendo DS. We went a long time without a new side-scrolling Mario game. It seems like it's about 13 and a half years. So that's absolutely crazy that Nintendo took that long.
Yeah, I can't believe they went that long without a new Mario game, a side-scroller, yeah.
Now, they released, you know, Mario All-Stars. They released a lot of the Mario games on the Game Boy Advance. They released Yoshi's Island, but none of them were just brand-new Mario side-scrollers. So this was the most recent one all the way up until 2006, which is pretty wild. Also notable in this game, it marked the debut of Wario. This is where Wario came from this game. He was the enemy in it, so I thought that was kind of cool. So in this game, you're trying to save Mario Land by collecting 6 golden coins from 6 different worlds, or zones as this game calls them, to gain access to the castle that Wario's taken over. Wario's taken over Mario's castle, and you've got to collect the coins and defeat him to gain it back. So
I love going to the castle area, and you can see Wario running back and forth.
Yes.
On top of it in
it's
the shadows.
Awesome.
I love that scene.
So I thought I'd talk about a couple of the zones I really like. One of them I love is the space zone, and I just absolutely love this. The first level is on the moon, and it has very different physics because of the gravity. And in fact, I thought this is interesting because Super Mario Maker 2 is also including this on some of the night levels. They're going to have these weird floaty physics, and to me, this is the first game that had them right here. And then, of course, on the star stage, which is has my favorite music in the whole game, and we'll put a clip in the episode of it. You can just basically float indefinitely. You can just float up and down by holding the A button or dropping it. So it's zero gravity.
Oh, very cool.
And it's really fun. And of course, the boss of this zone is one of my favorites too. It's Tatanga, who's the boss of Super Mario Land 1. And he makes a return appearance. I thought it was kind of cool that he actually made it into two games on the Game Boy.
So I've never played Super Mario Land 1 either.
Okay.
That is the little guy in the spaceship, right?
It is, yes.
I believe there's a spirit of him in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate that I
awesome,
have.
Awesome, yeah. So this is one of his only other appearances right here.
Very cool.
Another zone I really like is the Mario Zone, and I think this is really cool because it takes place inside a giant mechanical Mario, and I absolutely loved this as a kid. And of course, one of the zones I really wanted to talk about is Stage 4, which takes place all the way up in Mario's hat. It has platforms that, instead of just their standard Mario platforms, they look like they're made out of giant Lego bricks, but in this case they have a little logo on them that says N&B bricks, and N&B bricks were toys that Nintendo created back in 1968 to compete against the popular Lego brand. You know, Nintendo used to be a toy company, and they made ripoffs of Legos, which I thought was very interesting, and it's kind of funny that they made this level out of these bricks.
Wow, yeah, that is crazy. I never knew that.
Of course, the boss of this zone, this game is a little more wacky than some Mario games. The boss of the Mario Zone is the Three Little Pigs.
That's very weird.
So, few other things about this game. So you the coins that you collect last over the duration of the game. You don't collect 100 coins in one level and then start off with zero the next level. You keep these coins throughout. You can collect all the way up to 999, and you can use these coins in a little mini game that's on the map where you can collect certain power ups and one ups, and you can wager certain amounts of coins to get better prizes. And there's of course one tier that is 999 coins to just do one try at the mini game to see what you'll get. So I've definitely done that a few times in my life.
I've seen it.
I think one of the prizes is 99 one-ups, if I can remember right.
Oh, well.
Of course, the six zones can be played in any order, unlike most Mario games. So, you can start out at any of these six zones and do them in any order that you want, which I thought was pretty unique for Mario games.
Yeah, that's really cool. I've beaten three of the six zones so far.
Very nice.
You just went in any order. Yeah.
So this game introduced a new power-up. It's called the Magic Carrot power-up, and this turns Mario into Bunny Mario, and he can jump higher, he can jump repeatedly by holding down the jump button, and he can descend slowly using his ears. If you are in the air and tap the A button, he can just kind of glide around the levels. This is actually a really good power-up. I'm surprised it's never returned.
Yeah, no, in the game that I've been playing, yeah, I really like it. It's a very, very handy.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of neat. Yep. And of course, this game was re-released on the 3DS eShop on September 29th, 2011. And I believe that might be how you are playing it.
Yes,
right
it
now.
Is. Yep.
Do you recall how much it cost on the eShop?
$3.99.
So this game is pretty affordable if there's anybody out there that wants to try it out and has a 3DS.
Yes, for sure. And yeah, so far it plays great. And it has save points, which I really like as well.
Oh, yes.
So I can kind of save it at any point in the game.
Yes. So kind of what are your thoughts on this game? I mean, I just absolutely love this game, but I've loved it ever since I was a kid. How do you feel about it going into it, never playing it before?
So, after playing all the Mario games that we have today and everything, it is very hard for me to go back to a Game Boy game.
It is pretty primitive.
A black and white game, no color. Just it's a little harder than I thought it would be. But just because it's a Mario game, and I love how, like you said, it's kind of wacky a little bit.
It is. There's weird enemies. There's weird bosses. There's weird stages. And I think it's definitely, if you're a Mario fan, it's definitely worth checking out.
It's 100. Yeah, I definitely want to play it. I even want to play the original Super Mario Land. I've never played that one.
Well, if you think Mario Land 2 is primitive, wait until you try Mario Land. It is extremely primitive.
I've seen gameplay.
you can beat it very quickly, though. I think you can beat it in about an hour. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And this game also you can beat pretty quick. I know it like the back of my hand, so I replayed it this week. I beat it in a little less than an hour and a half. But if you're new to the game, I'd say you could probably easily beat it in 5 or 6 hours.
Gotcha.
So it's not a huge time sink to play it. And I do think it's worth playing, even though it's old. It is a very unique Mario side-scrolling game.
Yeah, so. It's part of Mario's history, so I must know about it.
That's true. All right, so we're going to take one more quick break, and when we return, we'll get back to it. We'll move on to our main topic, Two Truths and a Lie.
All right, everyone, it's time for us to play a little game, Two Truths and a Lie, Nintendo Edition.
Oh, I love games.
All right, same here. So we got this idea from an old episode of Nintendo Minute, like we do a lot of our segments, because they're just so fun.
It's
so
a great
fun.
Show.
It is.
Yes.
It's a very good show. So the way this works is we have some statements here, two of which will be truths and one of which will be a lie. Now, it's up to you to decide which of my statements are true and which one is the lie.
Right.
So,
okay.
Now, you have some as well, so we'll let you go first.
Okay, yeah, we have three each. So I'll go ahead and get us started. All right, number one, I have found and completed all 96 levels in Super Mario World. Number two, I have acquired all 120 stars in Super Mario 64. And number three, I have not acquired all of the moons in Super Mario Odyssey.
Okay, so I know you played a lot of Mario World when you were young. So I think you probably have done that. I know up until not too long ago you didn't have all of the moons in Odyssey, but you may have got them all since then. But I'm not sure about Mario 64, so I'm going to have to go with that one. I think I have acquired all 120 stars, and Super Mario 64 is a lie.
That's correct.
All right.
Well done.
There we go.
Yeah, I never was able to get them all as a kid. Some of them were just a little too hard for me.
Yeah.
So that's the lie. Very, very good job.
Oh,
I will say, my wife, as a kid, she had this game, and she did get all 120 stars, so she is better than I am.
Well, congratulations.
All right, what's your first one?
Okay, number one, I do not own any Gen 1 Pokemon cards. Number 2, I do not own any issues of Nintendo Power magazine. And number 3, I do not own an original Game Boy.
Okay. Let's see here. So, I think you probably do have some Gen 1 Pokemon cards. As much stuff as you come across, I find that hard to believe that that would be the lie. These next two, man, it seems like all of these should be true, honestly, with the collection that you, like yourself, that has. But if I had to choose one, I'm going to think the lie is I do not own an original Game Boy.
No, I actually do not own an original Game Boy. The lie is I do not own any issues of Nintendo Power. Not too long ago, I was able to track down some issues of Nintendo Power at a game store. I didn't have any up until a month or two ago, though.
Oh, wow.
So I still...
So these were both lies up until about a month ago.
All three of these were lies, yeah. So, yeah, that is mine. Good job.
Very, very, very fine. Okay, you're up one on me.
Yep, 1-0.
Okay, my second one, here we go. Number one, Kirby Superstar on the Super Nintendo is my favorite Kirby game. Number two, F-Zero GX on the GameCube is my favorite F-Zero game. Number three, Star Fox 64 is my favorite Star Fox game.
Okay, so I know it's not Star Fox 64 because Star Fox 64 is the greatest Star Fox game ever made.
I don't know. Star Fox Assault isn't bad.
It's not bad. That's not Star Fox 64.
I don't know. Maybe.
Kirby Superstar. I actually never played Kirby Superstar, but I think I've heard you talk about it before. F-Zero GX, I've never played that one either, but it seems like F-Zero X should be your favorite F-Zero game. So I think F-Zero GX is my favorite F-Zero game is a lie.
Wow, you're really good at this game, Chad. You got me again.
I know you like a book. Yeah. No.
Now, F-Zero GX, I will say, looks 10 times better than F-Zero X, but I think F-Zero X is the superior game. So you caught me in my lie there.
I've only played the Super Nintendo F-Zero, so I need to start
that
playing
one's these. Not great.
No, it's not.
Oh, man. Okay, you're up 2-0 on me. This is not looking good for me.
Okay, let's see here. Let's see if you can redeem yourself. So, number one, in the original Animal Crossing on GameCube, I completely filled the museum. This includes fish, insects, fossils, and paintings. 100%.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, number two is I unlocked every costume for Mario in Super Mario Odyssey. And number three, I played Star Fox Command 9 times so that I could see all 9 alternate endings.
Wow. This is a tough one here. If this was a newer Animal Crossing game, I would say that would be the lie, because I don't think you have enough time for that anymore. But on the GameCube, you were probably pretty little. You probably had a lot of time on your hands. I could see that one actually being true. You played a lot of Mario Odyssey. I believe you did collect all the moons. I want to think that one's true as well. But I just can't imagine you playing Star Fox Command 9 times. I think that is the lie, that you played Star Fox Command 9 times to see all the alternate endings. That just seems crazy.
Yeah, I wish that one was the lie.
Oh, no. That one's true?
I actually did not unlock every costume for Mario and Mario Odyssey. But yes, I played Star Fox Command a lot. And that was one of the only games that I had for the DS at the time. And when I heard that there were alternate endings, I had to see them all.
I think you played it a lot as an understatement. Wow, 9 times. This blows my mind.
I'm pretty sure it was a pretty short game. I don't remember all the alternate endings, of course. But yes, I did play it and see them all.
So Star Fox Command may be your favorite Star Fox game.
No, it's not.
Oh, very good. Well, I'm now in an unsinkable hole, I believe. All right, here we go. Maybe I can at least stump you on my last one here.
Let's see.
I'd hate for you to go 3-0 against me. Okay. These are all from my childhood, so I hope this will stump you. Number one, I had a Pikachu cake for my birthday when I was a kid. Number two, I had some Super Mario shoes when I was a kid. And number three, I wore a Game Boy backpack in elementary school.
Well, since I wasn't around, I have no idea which one of these is
perfect.
The right one. Okay, let's see. I don't even know if they made Mario shoes or Game Boy backpacks back then. So, I'm going to have to go with the, I had a Pikachu cake for my birthday when I was a kid. Now, wait a second. What age would you have been?
Probably 12 or 13.
Yeah, no. I don't know on that. So
so that's your guess.
I'm going to have to go with that one, yeah.
Well, you are wrong, sir. I did have a Pikachu cake as a kid.
Oh! Now, was it like an official-looking cake? Or
It was not. Okay. We put a toy Pikachu on top of a regular cake.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. Still a Pikachu cake.
So the lie actually was... I did not have Super Mario shoes when I was a kid. I did have a Game Boy backpack, but I did not have Super Mario shoes.
Oh, man.
So I finally stumped you on that one.
You did, yeah. Wow.
There is a picture floating around somewhere of me holding this cake at a much too old of an age to have a Pikachu cake. If I can find it, I will post it to our Instagram page, but no promises.
Yes, I will need to see proof of this.
Okay. So I finally got you. Okay.
You did.
You're still up 2-0, though.
All right, let's see what we can do here. All right, my last one. Number one, I used to think Link's name was Zelda. Number two, Metroid is my least favorite Nintendo franchise. And number three, I have a giant Tanuki Mario statue.
These all seem plausible. Let's see. I think that you used to think Link's name was Zelda. That's probably true. I think most people, especially if they were young when they heard of this game, probably thought the same. I probably did as well. I'm going to figure that one's true. I also think that you probably, I mean, you have a lot of figurines and statues. I wouldn't doubt at all that you have a giant Tanuki Mario statue. So I'm going to have to go with, surely Metroid is not your least favorite Nintendo franchise. Surely there's some worse than that to you.
You're right.
Awesome. Yes, I finally got on the board. Even in a loss still.
There are a lot of like lesser known Nintendo franchise and everything. But as far as like some of the big ones, Fire Emblem is my least favorite of the big.
I would have to agree. So, Metroid's definitely not my favorite. I bet it's not yours either. It's but not your least favorite either.
I tried to stump you on there. I was running low on lies. So.
Well, I kind of feel like this giant Tanuki Mario statue is just kind of you finding a way to weasel that into the show.
I just had to figure out a way to mention it on the show. That's right.
Very nice. I need to see this statue someday.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, awesome. I finally got on the board, but still in a loss. You ended up taking this round of 2 truths and a lie, 2-1.
All right.
Congratulations,
finally won a game. Thank you. Thank you. I'll accept my trophy later.
Oh, very nice. Okay. So let's go ahead and move on over to listener mail.
All right.
So we got an email in to the show from Jenny B. And I'm assuming it's a girl. She said, please talk about Splatfest and Chaos versus Order. So I thought, okay, perfect. I know we've mentioned this, that it was coming, but I hadn't really dug in deep to it. And since she was so kind to email us and ask about it, I thought, okay, let's see what's all involved with this last Splatfest coming in July. So 2 years from the release of Splatoon 2, the final Splatfest asked the question, which world would you choose, Chaos or Order? I thought this is a pretty fitting end here. This is a pretty big deal here. Chaos versus Order for the last Splatfest.
Yeah, same here. You know, I'm very sad to see the Splatfest coming to an end, but I can't think of a better side to deal to make an option on here.
Oh, exactly.
Chaos or Order. This is perfect.
And I mean, the entire universe of Splatoon 2 is picking sides. So got the teams here. Okay. So for Team Chaos, we've got Callie. We've got Pearl, first of all, sorry. Then we've got Callie. Agent 4, Annie, Craymond, DJ Octavio, Flo, Iso Padre, Killer Whales, Lil Judd taking sides here, Mo, Salmonids, and Spike. That's your Team Chaos team. So there's some pretty heavy hitters there.
Oh, for sure.
Of course, also on Team Order, we've got Marina and Marie. We've got Agent 3 and Agent 8. Bisque, Captain Cuttlefish, Commander Tartar, Krusty Sean, Sea Cucumber, Gelfonzo, Octoball, and Octotrooper. So, I mean, everybody has chosen a side here. There's nobody on the fence. So those are your two teams there. Also, in this Splatfest, an all-new Shifty Station level will be introduced alongside the return of every Shifty Station layout introduced prior. For the first, this is a 72-hour Splatfest, so it's a three-day deal. For the first 48 hours, all previous layouts will be part of the Splatfest battle rotation. And then for the last 24 hours, the new Shifty Station stage will be playable. So I thought that was interesting how they're doing that. I was curious how that was going to be.
Yeah, that's very cool.
I think that's smart because if they had it just where the new one was in with all the old ones and you only had a few hours to play, you may never even get to see the new stage.
Exactly.
So this makes a lot of sense to me. So four pieces of headgear, two for each team, will be available in a Squid Research Lab Report article on the Nintendo Switch News app in late June. And that is actually out now. Out today, in fact. So you can pick that up. Okay, so although this is the final Splatfest, Nintendo announced that the version 5.0.0 update for Splatoon 2 will go live after the Splatfest ends. And it will introduce Splatfest battles on the private battle mode. So every Shifty Station layout, including the unknown Final Fest layout, will be available in this mode, and the host will be able to choose the team ink colors from a list of all 51 Splatfest color schemes from every region. I thought this was pretty cool that they're going to add this Splatfest deal to private matches, and that you can actually choose the color ink for each one from all the various colors they've had, even the special colors.
That's really neat right there. I didn't realize there was that many color schemes and everything.
I didn't either. That's pretty crazy because it seems like, at least in just the regular game, it seems like there's probably not more than 10 or 15. So yeah. there was a lot of special ones.
That's cool.
Every stage, including the regular stages available in the base game, will have a day and a night mode. So that's really cool. That's one of the things I loved about the Splatfest was all the stages are at night and look kind of cool.
Yeah, that's really cool to play in the night modes.
So in the promotional art for this Splatfest, Callie is shown wearing Pearl's crown from the Octo expansion, while Marie wears Marina's headphones. I know we already mentioned that we're joining these teams, but I think it's kind of cool that the original two characters are joining up with the new ones here and choosing sides.
Yeah.
It is widely suspected that the outcome of Chaos vs. Order will affect the plot of a sequel game in a similar fashion to the Callie vs. Marie Splatfest from Splatoon 1. So I thought this is very interesting. And actually, if you log on to Splatoon 2 now, they will be talking about the Splatfest at the start of the game. And they go pretty in-depth, and it definitely got me hyped up for this. It seems like there will be some changes coming depending on which side wins.
Oh, man, this is getting crazy. I'm going to have to log in and check out everything. It's been a while since I've fired up Splatoon 2 here.
Yeah, so definitely launch the game from the Squid, from the news app, from the Squid Research Report, so you can get your four headgears. You can already have them, and so I think, you know, that's as far as I can tell, that's all the info we have about this Splatfest. I hope that was informative to our listeners, but we have one final thing that we must discuss, and that is, which side will Karibo Shu fight for?
So let's see who we want to add our names to with these teams here. So Team Chaos, I'm not a fan of Pearl personally.
Me either.
I like Marina.
Me too.
I like Callie, and I do not like Marie.
Oh, no. I like Judd more than Judd.
So is Judd on the team order?
I think he is, but I'm not sure. I may have just forgot to type him in there, or he may be a since he is sort of a referee, he may not be on either side.
He may not be on
either
side.
Now that you mention it.
I saw Lil Judd's name. If Judd's I like Judd better than Lil Judd.
Really? Yeah,
Lil Judd is always against me.
So. I will say I'm a Krusty Sean fan, though, so that's one for team order.
Yes, I am.
And I like Jalfonso. I like how he talks. So.
Yeah, and a lot of these names I honestly don't recognize. I don't know if I can call myself a Splatoon fan.
Well, some of them are pretty obscure. So yeah. I tell you what, me personally, and we may be split here, but I'm kind of a fan of Team Order.
Well, I'm a neat nut, so Team Order, it just fits me.
I just don't like chaos in my life. I like things to be a little more organized.
It needs to be peaceful, and there needs to be order. If it's just chaos and everybody's unhappy and people breaking the law, it just gets crazy. Plus, I don't want to live in a world where Pearl rules us all, so.
I agree. So it sounds like, at least for Karibo Shu, Team Order it is.
Team Order is the way to go. So giving our past Splatfest performances, we should probably choose Team Chaos so they'll lose.
I agree.
I'm really looking forward to this Splatfest.
Me too. We will see all of y'all on the battlefields, and we will be fighting probably a losing battle for Team Order.
That's right.
All right, so that's going to kind of wrap it up for this week's show. I want to thank everyone for listening. We want to remind everyone that they can visit our show page at anchor.fm/Karibo Shoe Podcast. Of course, we're available on all of the popular podcast apps. You can, if you like the show, please give us a rating on Apple Podcast or on Google Podcast. And we are on social media. We're on Twitter. We're at Karibo Shoe Pod. We're on Instagram at Karibo Shoe Podcast. And we're on Facebook at Karibo Shoe Podcast. And so you're welcome to follow along with us there. And we want to thank everyone for listening. And we'll see you guys in 2 weeks.